Welcome to How to Build a 10. This show is not about 10 building, but how to make you successful. It's Friday. I hope you had a great, blessed week. I hope you have a better weekend. Today, we are going to talk about the final part of the business plan. Not the final part that you do, but the final segment that we are going to cover about the business plan, the finance section. The finance section can be difficult if you're not good at finance, but it's so important, not just for investors, but for you yourself to run your company, to set goals for your finances, to be able to adjust them and to see how you're doing and to measure yourself on the way and to understand what resources you are going to need to accomplish your goals. You've worked so hard on your business plan. You've worked so hard on your business, coming up with the ideas, doing the market research, figuring out who's going to manage your company. The finance section is how you are going to execute that and what means you are going to be able to support those plans, those tactics, and those strategies that you've planned out. The finance section may be difficult, but it's incredibly important. And in fact, one of the funnest things about a company, running a company, managing a company, doing a startup is in the finance section for me. And although for myself, I do not like doing all the calculations, I know them. It's important to know the calculations and it's important to know what they mean. Not just if you are an entrepreneur, not just if you have your own business, if you are a manager in a company, but also if you are investing in companies. If you are buying and selling stocks, maybe you're doing some options if you have a lot of experience, and you are investing over $100,000, otherwise you need to be putting that in mutual funds. But if you're looking to invest in specific stocks, you want to be looking at their finances. You want to be seeing their formulas, their ratios, their projections, and that's going to help you make a better decision on investing. The finance section is that important. It's the DNA of a company insofar that it will reveal defects, it will reveal strengths, and it will reveal just how healthy the company is. And that is what you want to portray in this section. You don't want to just give an accounting outline where you throw the balance sheet, the income statement, and the cash flow statements together. This is where you are going to be detailing those things, but so much more. You're going to be projecting out based on your forecasting of what cash is going to be coming in, what are your sales going to be, what are your prices going to be, and we're going to get into that in a second. Before we do, we are part of the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. If you go over to crosspolitic.com, soon to be flfnetwork.com, and you become a member, you get one of these cool mugs if you put HTBT in the memo field when you subscribe. You get tons of great content. You get Toby Sumter's Proverbs Bible study. It's amazing. And there's so many other things that we are constantly working on. I feel like I have at least two or three meetings discussing different things that are going to be coming every week, or I have two or three meetings every week of things that are going to be coming out in this coming year that are going to give you guys tremendous value in this membership. So pray about it, pray for us, come alongside of us, and be part of what the Lord is doing with this network, with these shows that are rolling out. I mean, there's so many great shows now. There's so many great personalities hosting these shows, so many diverse opinions. If you saw that last midweek fix where Marcus got called out, it makes me want to just like keep my head low. I don't want to be called out by the Cross Politic guys. It's a little scary. It really makes me make sure I have all my stuff tight and researched. Jeez, those guys are going to be brutal. All right, let's get into it. The finance section. And again, what I was saying, this is not the accounting section, but it's the finance section. The purpose of this section is to tell people the forecasting that you have for the company. This is where you are going to show them what the company is going to look like in 6 months, in a year, 2 to 3 years out is how far you want to go. And this is where you are going to have all the financials detailed, obviously, by the name, the finance section. And what this is not hard facts that can be proved or disproved, but it's your best compelling argument of your educated guess, based on your market research, based on the cost of goods sold, based on the prices that you have implemented, based on the market you're in, the industry that you're in, it is your best guess on how well your company could be. You don't want to be too high. People will not trust you anymore. You don't want to be too low. People aren't going to be interested. And that is the art of this. It is so much more than just mathematical equations based on the facts of your business. But it's you as a leader picturing, communicating, articulating the financial future of this company and why people should invest in your company. Not that you are overpromising or underselling, but that you are finding that sweet spot that people are going to believe you and want to get in on this company. And that is the art of it, because there is no right answer. It's going to be determined by how well you sell it when you're presenting this, when you meet with the people that you are trying to get investment from or a loan from, if you're talking to a banker or giving this business plan to a banker, if you're giving it to employees, it's how well you talk with them in their interviews. All of those things go into it, including all the previous sections, because the finance section is at the end of the business plan, although the executive summary, like I said, is what you should be doing last. So this is like the last part where you need to leave them with the optimism and the belief in your company. The first thing you want to do is project out your three years of sales, like I talked about. Now, if your projections look like a hockey stick, that is, if you lay down the hockey stick and it's been flat, depending on how long your company's been around, and then all of a sudden, just some miraculous thing happens, people rise from the grave, and your sales just shoot straight up like a hockey stick if it was laying down, that is too optimistic. Very rarely do you have a company, an idea, a product, where just instantly you're going to shoot up. And even if you do, it would not be wise to count on it. You should just let it happen, be prepared for it to happen, but plan as if you were going to have a consistent growth pattern that is typical in your industry, what is comparable with how other companies have operated in your industry in the time that we are in. So that if you are making your projections look like if it was on a graph, a hockey stick, where it's straight and then arches straight up out of nowhere, you're probably too optimistic. Likewise, if it's like a heart rate monitor of a dead person and it's just very slow and you don't even know if there's a slope, and it could be completely horizontal, you're not sure, that's probably too pessimistic. Either you're right and you shouldn't be doing this company because sales like that are terrible, or you are under-promising and you don't accurately understand the value you have in your company, where people aren't going to want to invest in you anyways. So you want to see a graph that is increasing at a healthy rate, but not the all of a sudden shoots up and you get $10 million of sales when you've only had $100 in sales in the last 6 months. Not the flatline heart rate. That is probably a good sign that you should go out of business or find something else to do. You want to find the sweet spot. For the first year, like I said, you want to be doing this for 3 years. The first year, you should probably do month-to-month forecasting. And then the year two and year three, probably best to do it quarterly. Some people do it monthly. And the idea behind that is you want to have a solid plan that you are going to execute, that you know the money that's going to come in. You have a better understanding because it's nearer term to the present. And you could be more accurate with it. But then when you get to years two and three, there's so many variables that go into business. For those of you in business that run your business, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There is no perfect plan in business because things are ever changing. And when you are in, you're not going to be able to do a month-to-month forecast and be any kind of realistic or have any kind of realistic numbers. So do quarter to quarter. That should be good enough. You're going to want to have different lanes to project. You're going to want to project unit sales. You're going to want to do pricing. You're going to want to do units times pricing, unit cost, COGS, which is the cost of goods sold. And why do you want to do that? It's because you want to calculate gross margins in the next section. And you want to think about how scalable is your pricing. And pricing is one of the most difficult things to do besides the finance section as a whole. It's one of the most difficult things for people to get right. And this is another one of those elements in business that is a fine art, is getting the pricing right. And we've talked about that before in different podcasts. But just to give you a high level, pricing is determines a lot of things. One is it conveys or it projects the quality of your product. It doesn't necessarily mean you have a high quality product, but people perceive it as a high quality product if your pricing is higher than your competitors. Conversely, if you have low pricing, then people are going to consider your product cheap, most likely. Unless somehow you have this great name, brand recognition, you have completely optimized your business processes and you have scaled and you can just produce these things at such a cheap rate that you're just blowing your competition out of the water, but somehow you still have an amazing product, you probably should even raise your prices at that point. But there are some people that, you know, have cheap quality products, but I would not recommend that as a pricing strategy. And then also you need to be thinking about your pricing is, are you going to be able to cover cost? When are you going to get to your break-even point? That's what we're going to talk about in a little bit. There's so many factors like of inflation, of, you know, the cost of goods or your cost of raw materials changing, or when you get to a certain amount of production, are costs going to go up? And are other, what type of product do you have? Is it a product that can people go without, or is it something that people depend on? So many things that go into it. So pricing is quite an art. If you don't have experience with pricing your product, I would highly recommend getting a consultant or somebody that you trust in the industry who does have experience with pricing, because pricing is such an important thing and it's such a difficult thing to do at the same time. And just the one last thing I will say about pricing, just because it's so important, I always hone in on it when I can. It's a lot easier to lower your prices than to raise your prices. So make sure that you don't underprice your product right out of the gate. The second thing you want to do in this section is create an expense budget. You want to be thinking through two different types of costs, your fixed costs that are cost. No matter how many units you sell, the cost is going to stay the same. It could be like rent, insurance, payroll, costs that don't change based on how much you're selling. And then also the second one is variable costs, sometimes direct costs, I've heard it. Variable costs are maybe how much you, if you are doing like a cost of acquisition, an acquisition cost, and you could tie that to each unit sold of how much advertising you're doing or promotions. It can be like merchant services, if they charge per card, credit card transaction, if you're doing e-commerce. I think it's, 2.9% usually, plus 30 cents per transaction. That's a variable cost. You want to be thinking through these. Now, if you have a business that you're just trying to get by with and you're just starting up, you probably are going to have higher fixed costs. That is more controlled and you are able to kind of start building up your business in an affordable way. Opposed to somebody who wants to scale a business quickly, you want to have If you are just starting up, you want to have higher variable costs because it's going to be more dependent on how many sales you do, and you're going to have lower fixed costs, so you're going to be able to have your expenses tied into your sales and that you're not going to go under. Opposed to somebody who wants to scale a company quickly, or if you're in a position where your business has been growing, you've been around for a few years and you just feel like you are starting to pick up, you're going to want to start to switch to fixed costs and less variable costs, because that's when you are going to have increasing margins. And the more you sell, the more profits you're going to make, because most of your costs are fixed. So it's not going to matter how many you sell. Your costs aren't going to go up with how much you sell as much as variable costs. So that's something to think about. If you are just starting out, you want to have probably higher variable costs. And then most likely, if you are starting to scale and really pick up, you want to start shifting to try to have as much fixed cost as possible when you are structuring your cost structure in your business. The third thing you want to have is a cash flow statement. This is the physical money that is coming in and out of your company. This is the pulse of your company. This is the blood that's pumping, going in and out of your heart, going in and out of your bank account. You want to be able to detail that and show a healthy amount of cash flow. The more cash you have in a business, the better. I'm convinced that's one of the best assets that Apple has right now is how much cash they have on hand. And they're a valuable company just for that alone. And how many companies could they just buy outright right now with how much cash they have on hand? Billions and billions of dollars. If you have historical data, this is good. You want to show your history of how you've grown your cash flow and your cash on hand. If you are a new company, just project out your cash flows for 12 months because you're not going to have the historical documents, but you want to show that you have a plan and what it's going to look like. And the last thing I'll say about this section is that you need to be realistic with invoices. If you are in an industry where you're invoicing people and you're expecting, if you're like a B2B company and you invoice a company and you give them 30-day terms, don't expect that 100% of your invoices are going to come in the first 30 days. Maybe it's 80%, maybe it's lower. You want to factor that in to this plan of how much money are you going to collect in the 30-day terms that you expect. Maybe it's 15-day terms with a discount, or maybe you're giving them a higher term because it's an industry standard, 45 days or 60 days. You want to be working that in and understanding what that means, and you need to have a realistic understanding or expectation of when your customers are going to pay. I guarantee it that not all your customers are going to pay on time. That is why whenever you have the opportunity in business, you want to control the money. Because if you're controlling the money, you don't have to wait on somebody to pay you. You're paying other people and you have all the power. So whenever you get a chance, you want to control the money in your contracts, in any kind of partnership, control the money. The next part you want to have is income projections. This is a pro forma, your profit and loss statements. You want to be able to articulate when you are going to have a profit. If you have had a profit already in the company, depending on where you are at, how many years you have been working at this company. This is where you're going to use a sales forecast. You're going to have expense projections. You're going to have your cash flow statement. You're going to have your sales minus your cost of goods sold, which equals your gross margin. The sales minus your cost of goods sold equals your gross margin. And that is just how much money you have before your expenses, interest, taxes, all of those things. So then after you do your sales minus your cost of goods sold for the gross margin calculation, then you're going to take your gross margin and minus your expenses, your interest, and your taxes. Yes, you have to factor those things in a business, which is why when taxes go up, company value, company in growth goes down. I think I just hit my mic. I apologize for that. So when you do gross margins minus your expense, interest, and taxes, that's when net profit happens. That's how you get net profit. So when you raise taxes, it impacts your profit. The fifth part, and there's only six, so one more after this. There's the fifth part you want to detail in this plan, this financial section, is the assets and the liabilities. And this is typically what you think of in a balance sheet. And you can have one of those on here, definitely. And it tells the net worth of your company of how much you're worth. How much are your assets minus your liabilities, which results in the value of your company, your owner's equity. Now, in accounting, it's the equation is assets equal liabilities minus owner's equity because the liabilities are on the other side of the T account. But then you do the math and it's really assets minus liabilities equals owner's equity. And that's how people will see how much value you have in your company. And that goes to how much of a percentage an investor is going to ask for with the projections and how much your company has right now in assets and how much cash you have on hand. Those are all factors in how much of a company you're going to have to give up when someone is investing in you. You want to talk about how much cash you have on hand. That's like what you have in your business checking account, accounts receivable, how much money is owed to you, and the liability. How many bills do you have to pay? Do you have any outstanding loans? Do you have any convertible notes, bank notes? All those things you need to list in here so that an investor or whoever is reading your plan has a real good understanding of the value of your assets and your liabilities. And the sixth part, this is my favorite part. This is the part I have the most fun with. And we will end with this, is the break-even analysis. And I love this because I'm a data guy. I love speculating on what I need to get and understanding and having a clear picture of where I need to be. And then I work backwards to plan out how to get there. And I just tinker with the numbers. I'll just stay up all night with an Excel sheet and, you know, have dynamic formulas. And I'll just change sales by the thousands to see how much money I can make, how fast. And this is what this will tell people, is how fast will investors get their money back? How fast, how optimistic are you about your company being profitable? And that's the, you know, beautiful thing, the beautiful word that everyone wants to hear when investing, when pouring their sweat equity into a company, is profitability. Once you can get to profitability, there's just this big weight that comes off your shoulders as an entrepreneur, as a manager, as a small business guy. If you've ever been having, if you've ever had a company where you've got to that profitable level, you know exactly what I mean. It's like, it's almost, well, actually it's better, but it's like when you pay off all of your debt for the first time in your life and you just realize, I am debt free. It's like, I am profitable. It's just so great. So that's the finance section. If you have any questions, you can reach out to me, matthowtobuildatent.com. You can find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. We live stream every weekday at 12 p.m. I hope you guys have a great weekend. I hope you are blessed. I hope you guys pray for me. I pray for you guys. I would really appreciate thousands and thousands of you praying for me. That would be an amazing blessing. If you have any questions about the business plan, remember you have until March 31st to submit it to me. However you want, email, you can give me a Dropbox link. I don't care. And then you will get a chance to be on the show. You get free advertising. You get a swag bag personalized for you with HTBT stuff. And with that, we'll talk to you next time. God bless.